Washington State students have taken a test, and the results don't look great. The Smarter Balanced Assessment is in its second year as the state's main K-12 standardized test. The state is boasting that test scores are up, but in math, fewer than half of Washington's students pass the test. And in English language arts, it doesn't look great either. KUOW's education reporter Ann Dornfeld recently sat down with Bill Radke to explain what's going on with the state's test scores.
Overall, the average proficiency is in the F or F minus zone, which might make you think that Washington students aren't learning anything. But, you know, the saying, there are three kinds of lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Statistics. Okay, so let's get at that, because some people, of course, are doing better than average and some are doing worse. So when you break down the scores more intelligently, what do they tell us?
Well, math scores were the lowest in most grades. Fewer than half of the students who tested were proficient. Black, Latino, and Native American kids did the worst, which is what we tend to see. Only about a third of Black third graders showed proficiency on the English language arts test, and white and Asian students did at least twice as well on average. We've seen that huge gap for years between Black and Latino students and white and Asian students.
Why is it that so many students are not passing these tests?
There are a lot of factors at work. One of them is that the tests are a lot harder than the previous tests the state used until last year. So scores across the board now average 5 to 10 points lower than they did on the old tests. The state had warned about that when the new test came out. And when it comes to the gap between racial groups, race is a proxy for income in this country. And of course, we see huge disparities between different races when it comes to family wealth and income level. And wealth is the major predictor of how ready a child is for school when they arrive in kindergarten and how much academic support they'll have outside of school throughout their school career. So by that, what I mean is that if your parents work nights or they don't speak English, it's hard to get help on your homework. And kids who grow up in poverty often have physiological disadvantages as well, because scientists say that if a child grows up with traumatic experiences like, say, violence down the street that they're afraid of or food insecurity, it kind of rewires their brain for this stress response rather than abstract concepts like math and focusing in school and on things like standardized tests.
That makes a lot of sense, Anne, but what if I just want to blame somebody? Where do I point the finger?
Well, the most typically blamed folks are either the schools or legislators, that funding is way too low for schools. But the reality is that the levels of child poverty in this country are astronomically high. And school is only a part of a child's education system. The entire world that they live in contributes. Kids need support after school, on the weekend, just like you and I probably had. They need to have safe and healthy environments with plenty of guidance from adults. And that's really hard in high poverty environments. And schools can definitely help with that with abundant funding. And teachers can get more training to help meet students' needs and teach traumatized kiddos. But we probably won't see major changes in academic success without a sea change when it comes to the way this huge proportion of kids in the state and around the country are supported inside and outside of school.
Those are some major factors. What else might be going on here?
Well, there are other factors, like a lot of students or their families are opting out of testing, especially in high school. That skews the testing data. And another issue is that this new test is done on a computer, so teachers say it's hard for little kids who don't have computers at home to do their best on hardware that's unfamiliar to them. Their keyboarding skills might not be that great. And finally, the Smarter Balanced test has a lot of critics who say it's poorly designed and too hard for students to parse, even good students. And if that's true, then some kids might know a lot more than they're being given credit for. But regardless of whether the test is truly broken, the number of confounding factors that I've just discussed when it comes to standardized testing means that these results are really not reliable gauges of school or teacher quality.
I've always wanted to know this, Anne. I'm a parent. I'm looking for the best place for my child. I see a certain school's test scores are not good. I might think, okay, got it, not a good school. Is that fair?
No, I think the best thing to do is to talk to other families whose children attend the school, to visit the school, to see it for yourself, and to see if it feels like a good fit. There might be a child in your child's class who is an immigrant family, and they might do poorly on a test. That doesn't mean that your child won't be getting a great education.
KUOW education reporter Ann Dornfeld. She spoke with my colleague Bill Radke. Has your child failed one of these tests? We'd love to hear your story. Email us at record@kuow.org.